All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, quarantine edition of the show today, Tom Brady edition of the show today. We've probably got more going on for this show than any show we've ever done off-season category. And I would even go so far as to say there's probably more going on than almost any other show we've done on JoeBucksFan.com. So it's one of those things where we're going to have to work to get it all in today. But you know what? That's the beauty of the lockdown, and there aren't many things that are beautiful about it. But one of them is you can get caught up on all your podcasts, and we can really clear our throat today because there is so much going on. The free stretch, as it always is and continues to be, is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. And hey, let me tell you this. If you're thinking about buying a car, if you need a car right now, I know, you know, there's a lot of things in flux. That cuts both ways. You know, on one hand, it might be a time that a lot of people maybe think isn't the best to go look at a vehicle. But on the other hand, if you need one, or if you've been thinking about getting one, you got a chance to make a really good deal right now. And you always have that chance at Bill Curry Ford, no matter what, maybe especially now. So check it out. Go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Or go down there in person. They are a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, east side of the road, just north of the Hillsboro Overpass there. And you'll get a chance to see all the inventory on the lot. But the website's going to give you everything you need as well, so you can check it out there no matter what. Whether it's in person, whether it's online, whether it's new, whether it's used, whether it's pre-owned, okay? You get the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty as long as you own the car that you bought at Bill Curry Ford. It can be years from now. You can bring it back in if there's engine trouble or anything like that and be covered under the warranty. It's not just me saying it, folks, okay? Even though I do say it, the people at Bill Curry Ford, 2020 Consumer Satisfaction Award, they have won, and that's not the first time. It won't be the last time either. So go check it out and be a part of it. And mention my name, mention the free stretch, or mention Joe Bucks Fan, and you'll get the Joe Bucks Fan discount on top of the already transparent online pricing. And speaking of getting a good deal, we're going to talk about this Tom Brady thing at length today, obviously. We had a couple of shows where we've delved into it. Always just a mere possibility. It never really seemed real. And now that it has happened, to be perfectly honest, it still does not seem real. This feels really, really weird. And I don't even mean that in a bad way or a good way. I just mean it feels like, doesn't it feel weird like Tom Brady? Weren't you watching ESPN or any of the other national networks, NFL Network, whatever, and seeing just the little graphic with Tom Brady's headshot and the Bucks logo superimposed next to it, and then people kept using Photoshop to put him in the Bucks uniform, even though it's not the uniform he'll wear, thank God, because they're changing. But it just, it's all weird, and now that it's been a few days, I wanted to let it marinate a little bit before I did the show. And honestly, it still feels weird, and it's going to feel weird for a long time. And wouldn't it be just our luck for something like this to happen? And then Tom Brady, you know, he's a Buccaneer, he's going to come be the quarterback of our team, which seems so unlikely that even when we were on the very, very cusp of it happening early in the week this past week, I couldn't make myself believe it. I said, I'll believe it when I see it. He has to actually sign that paper, which he eventually did and has officially done now. But wouldn't it be like just the type of thing? He's a Buccaneer. It's all real. Here we go. Season's delayed because of coronavirus. Like, that's in play, folks. And here's what y'all need to understand. And I am not going to pretend to be an expert. I am not going to pretend to be medically trained, whether it's a doctor or a disease expert or what have you. But I do know this, the situation we're in right now, you know, with the self-quarantine, you know, social distancing, all that stuff. Nobody wants to do it. It's a bad thing for our society. It's a bad thing for our economy. It's a bad thing for lots of things that no one would ever recommend under normal circumstances. And yet it is the right thing to do because at this point it is the only thing we can do. The reason that we have to do it is because we have no idea who has or has had this thing or could have this thing. And so instead of being able to pinpoint the people that have it, pinpoint where it is and quarantine them, we got to do it with everybody. And the reason for that, quite simply, is because we were not prepared for this on the front end. And I will stop short of getting political, but I think y'all know why we weren't prepared on the front end, so you don't need me to tell you anyway. And that has led to having to take a much more broad umbrella approach where all of society is practically shut down. And I have huge concerns about it, like I'm sure all of you do too. It's not just the virus itself. Even if you told me right now that neither me nor my family or anybody I care about would ever contract the virus, I still would be very, very concerned and am very, very concerned about the effects of doing what we're doing right now long-term on society. You know, you can do this for a weekend, you can do it for a week, you can do it for a couple weeks, but to have to do it for as long as we potentially may have to, and I don't know how long it'll be, again, I'm not pretending to know anything, but it's a big deal. And if you're having doubts, if you can't talk yourself into this, if you're one of the people that doesn't believe it's as big of a deal as it seems like, and it may not be, and you know what, if it ends up not being as big of a deal as it sounded like, we may never know if that was because it wasn't a big deal or if it was because the measures that we're taking worked precisely how they're supposed to. And it doesn't matter. Either way, we should all be rooting for that eventual outcome where we go, oh, well, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. That's the hope, okay? And like I said, if you're having doubts about it, if you're trying to talk yourself into all this, then just think of this right now. Think of it as you are personally fighting for the 2020 football season, because we already lost the NCAA tournament, which, that should be going on right now. It's one of my favorite events of the year. That's devastating as a sports fan. All right, we already lost that. Huge events like the Masters and huge events like the Kentucky Derby and opening day of baseball, all these things have been pushed back. We don't know when or if they'll happen. All right, and then, of course, you've got the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are looking poised, and I hope somehow they figure out a way to get it going again, but it's very, very possible they won't, and they're looking poised to make a potential Stanley Cup run, all right? And all that's gone. That part may be lost already. We'll see. Football season, though, is not lost yet, but it still could be. Like, the possibility that there won't be a 2020 football season, college or pro, exists. And so if you need any other incentive than that, think of it that way. What do I have to do? How do I have to help? What can I do to help to make it more likely that we actually get to see Tom Brady run out of the tunnel in a Buccaneer uniform for the first time and play for this team? Because I know no matter where you fall on this whole Brady thing, you're curious. I am too. And here's the thing. So we talked on the show like a few, I think it's been two shows we addressed, it might have been three, I can't remember how far back the speculation went, but we talked about all this with the Bucs' pursuit of Tom Brady. I told you then, what I still believe, to be honest, I haven't really changed on this, even though we now have him, but I said this is the type of thing that never happens to our teams. You hear talk about it, but we're not that franchise, we're not that town. You know, we don't have crazy stuff like this happen to us, with lots of attention in national media. The Bucs barely got any national coverage when they won the Super Bowl. Even then, it was grudgingly. Like, nobody cares about Tampa Bay teams. And I'm fine with that, and I'm used to that, and I just couldn't imagine this happening. And like I said, even though it's actually happened now, I still have a hard time believing it. But now that it's happened, let's evaluate it from a football standpoint. Because you got a guy coming in here who, obviously, his credentials are unmatched. He's the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. He is still physically capable, and he now plays for the Bucs. So, I'm not completely sold. Not that I'm against it, but I mean, this is a guy who, by the opening day, that's scheduled at least, opening day for the NFL, will be 43 years old. And Tom Brady was as good as he has ever been, even late in his career from, you know, roughly 2014 through 2017 or so. I mean, he had a run there that rivaled anything else he had done. And that was at that point in his late 30s, okay? And then in 2018, there was a little bit of decline. Nothing crazy. I mean, again, declining from levels of play heretofore unseen is hardly anything to scoff at. But he declined a little bit in 2018. Then 2019, he declined a little more. Again, none of this is abnormal. He's into his 40s now. And so here we are looking at 2020 for Tom Brady. And I remember reading a long time ago when I used to read Bill Simmons on ESPN. And this is amazing, like, how long it's been, because, like, this was like years ago and Brady's still playing. But I remember him saying it was kind of like a carton of milk. He said Bill Belichick knows that Brady as good as he is like that carton of milk that's kind of getting close to the expiration date that's in your fridge, and you kind of smell it one day and you're like, all right, this is okay, I'm gonna stick with this carton of milk. And then like the next day you come and check it and boom, like you're like, whoa, that's like, it goes fast. And that could happen to Tom Brady in 2020. I'm not saying it will. The Bucs certainly don't believe it will. But there's the possibility he gets out there and you're like, oh yeah, he's 43. Like, I don't care who this guy is. It might be Tom Brady, but he's 43. And you'll know it like immediately when you're watching him. Like, I don't think this is going to work. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that is a distinct possibility. Like, you're going to keep hearing a phrase thrown around. No matter how good or bad of a play he makes or how negative some sort of coverage is, or eventually the end walk-off scenario for every conversation like that is someone just shrugging and saying, eh, it's Tom Brady, you know, and that, what are you going to say to that? Yeah, it's Tom Brady. But just saying it's Tom Brady isn't going to be enough whenever this eventually ends. And so looking at him, watching him, I mean, he can still throw the ball. I'm not worried about his arm strength or anything like that. Certainly his knowledge, all those things. You know, it wasn't like he was bad last year. But again, if he declines again from 2019 to 2020, the way he did from 2017 to 2018 and from 2018 to 2019, and again, this would be no fault of his whatsoever. He's 43. But I'm just saying, like, that's a scenario. See, a lot of people right now are being, oh my God, we got Tom Brady, the missing link. Everything else is in place. We're going to the Super Bowl. And I hope that happens. If not this year, then next year. But again, you're looking at, look, Tom Brady's already done a ton of things that no one's ever done before. But I don't believe an NFL quarterback has ever played more than 6 games in a season after age 43 or 40. Like, I think this season he hits a point where, like, no one's, this is completely uncharted territory. Which, again, does not mean it can't happen. But I'm just saying that has to be considered. So it's not a complete slam dunk. When you look at the big picture, though, because I've said before, you know, I think Jameis Winston can still be a good quarterback in this league. I think he's going to be a lot better. I think he would have been much better in this offense in 2020 because it'd be his second year in the offense. And we've gone over time and time again how other quarterbacks that have played under Arians, like Peyton Manning, like Roethlisberger, and specifically Carson Palmer, who said this a few months ago in a radio interview, said what a difference it made being in that second season in the offense and how much more difficult it was in the first year when you're still learning everything and how it all came into clarity after having been used to it. And I was excited to see that happen with Jameis Winston in 2020, okay? And I still think, I mean, we'll talk about him in a little bit, but I keep hearing there's no market for Jameis Winston and that he's going to be lucky to get a backup job somewhere. Some people have even said, oh, he ought to just go try baseball at this point. He's done. Are you kidding me? Like, I'm looking at, there's a few teams out there right now who ought to be begging that guy to come be their starting quarterback over what they currently have, in my opinion. But anyway, my point of all this is, like, even if that was true that Jameis Winston was going to make a big leap forward and going to do this, that, and the other, if you're in the Glazers' position, and this franchise has not had anybody that gives a crap about it for so long, attendance has been near or at the bottom of the league for a long time, and just generally a doldrummy franchise, like where there's nothing to get excited about. You can't sell, oh, Jameis is going to be better this year. If we were keeping Jameis right now, let's say Brady had chosen to either stay in New England, or let's say he had chosen to go to the Chargers or what have you, where would we be right now as a franchise psychologically, as a fan base psychologically? It'd be like, eh, we'll see about 2020, I guess. Instead, there's lines reaching into the thousands online on the Ticketmaster website on Tuesday night when news that this was going to happen started to crystallize, and you couldn't even get through on the computer, you couldn't even get through on the phone, and, I mean, and they still have some tickets, but they started going quick, and it's starting to feel like the old days again. I mean, we don't have a waiting list of 75,000 people or anything, I'm not going that far. But, I mean, the night and day difference in energy and excitement and things like that, before you even get to what difference it'll make on the field, which, again, it may not make a difference on the field. But before you even get that far, if you're the Glazers, you almost had to do this. I mean, And I get it. I mean, I get it. I'm not saying I think it's going to work. You know, obviously Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time, Jameis Winston, 30 interceptions. You start doing that scale thing, and you know, of course Tom Brady's better. He may not be better in 2020 than Jameis Winston would have been. We don't know that yet. It's not for sure. But again, knowing what we know right now, if you're the Glazers, and given the attitudes and the feelings around the franchise by both its fan base and, you know, the national media, all those things, I mean, it is like night and day having done this. So I get it. I get the whole thing. I'm excited about it. I still don't know how it's going to feel to see Tom Brady as a Buccaneer. Like, I almost feel like it's some sort of an like alternate reality. And it's kind of a sign. It kind of is fitting that all this is happening during this coronavirus thing, because this entire thing is so surreal that every day I get out of bed in the morning and I tell myself, okay, like, we really are just all locked into our houses today and there's no sports on TV, and everything that we know, everything I've set my watch to for years and years and years, is all canceled. And oh yeah, the Bucks have Tom Brady. Like, if I had gone back even 6 months, forget about 6 years, if I had gone back 6 months and told you all of these things that I was going to just throw out there, they just all seem like things you just completely imagine in your head without putting any thought into it whatsoever. Oh yeah, yeah. How about a global pandemic? And we cancel, like, no NCAA tournament. We stop all of our seasons right in the middle of them. Everybody goes home. And it's like, what's that movie called? I forget the one with Will Smith. I Am Legend, I think it was. Where that's what it really is like right now, where there's just no people in these massive cities and skyscrapers and these bustling downtowns, and they're all dead empty, eerily empty. What if we had that? What if the Bucks had Tom Brady? And what if so-and-so, I just list off a bunch of other, like, they would all seem just completely unreal. And yet, that is a reality we live in right now. Now, I'm going to say this. Watching ESPN the other night, when this was all going down, and everybody's responding to it, and all these national people who I don't think I've ever seen the words Tampa Bay Buccaneers even leave their lips, were now all gushing. Hey, this Bucs team, Adam Schefter was up there. This Bucs team, people don't realize how good they were in 2019. They were 7-9, but they lost 7 of their games of the 9 by less than 7 points. They've got all kinds of weapon. You would have thought, guys, watching the coverage on Tuesday night through the rest of the week, that the 2019 Bucs were the greatest team to ever miss the playoffs in the history of the NFL. And I swear, I remember the 2019 season pretty clearly because it wasn't that long ago. It was less than a year ago. And I'm pretty sure, and you probably do too, because you were Bucks fans like me. Do you remember anybody? I mean, do you remember anybody at all even saying the words Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the net? Unless it was to make like a Jameis Winston joke. Like, oh, Jameis Winston. You know, some sort of cheesy, unoriginal joke about the interceptions that you'd probably already heard 10 times before. That's literally the only time I ever remember anybody saying anything about the 2019 Bucks. So I didn't realize they were this good. I'm glad everybody thinks they were this good now, because I sure as hell didn't hear about it back during the 2019 season when it was actually going on. Nobody said, hey, the Bucks, man, I know they're not right in the playoff spot right now, but they're a good team. They're an up-and-comer. Their defense has gotten better throughout the season. They've got a lot of weapons. No, nobody said anything. In fact, if you go back through the whole history of the franchise, like I said on Twitter the other day, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could have collectively come up with a cure for cancer, and like grudgingly they'd give them like a couple of minutes on the NBC Sunday night halftime show where they show all the highlights. Oh yeah, the Bucs cured cancer. Oh, but look, look, Tom Brady threw a fourth straight completion on this one drive. You know, that's what it would be. Like, nobody has ever cared about the Bucs. And this past week, now everybody pretends that they were all in on the 2019 Bucks and how good they are and how this is a great move for Brady. And they're not wrong, by the way. I'm just saying that's how it's going to be now. So there's kind of a little bit, I've detected kind of a little bit of, I don't want to say resentment, but a little bit of maybe the word, like you can't sit at our table type feelings from like the true hardcore Bucks fans, like the longtime Bucks fans like me. Because here's what's going to happen. Like, you're going to have to get used to this bandwagon thing. As much as we complain over the years about, like, playing against teams from up north, like the Packers or the Steelers or whoever else, the New York teams, whatever, and every time you go to a Bucs game at home against one of those teams, you'd hear thousands of their other team's fans all in the stadium cheering for them. And we all hate that, right? We always complain about it. But yet, as much as we don't like that, would you rather be on the other side of that where you're one of those teams that has that? Because I've never wanted that. I might complain about the Bucks not getting enough highlights on SportsCenter. I might complain about other teams' fans, like the Steelers or whatever, taking over. But I would much, much, much rather be a team like the Bucks than be a fan of one of those type teams. It's like rooting for the casino in blackjack or something. Like, I wouldn't want to be like that. I love being little old Tampa that nobody but us cares about, us against the world. I love that. Like, that, I feed off that. And again, maybe that's from just a childhood growing up, going to Bucks-Packers games where there were 30, 40, 50,000 Packers fans and only 20, 30,000 Bucks fans. Or Bears. That was another one that was always like that. I grew up on that. And we see it at Rays games, too, with the Yankees and Red Sox. We used to see it a lot more at Lightning games when they'd play Toronto or Boston or Montreal or one of them. And the way I always took it was that these people want to be here. There's a reason you don't go up to, like, a New York Giants game or a Montreal or Toronto or Chicago or Green Bay and see a bunch of people from Florida. And it's not just because there's no people from Florida. We got plenty. It's that, why the hell would someone from here go there? I mean, nobody on either side would think that. But it makes perfect sense. Oh, yeah, of course people from Boston are going to be down here. Of course people from New York and Chicago. Because we're a really good place to live. Philadelphia is another one. And I'm not ripping these other. I've been to some of these cities, not all of them. I would never want to live in any of them. That's because I would never want to live anywhere else besides here. But I've always been very, very proud of that. And I don't care about national coverage. And I don't care about. Yeah, I wouldn't want the Bucks to ever become a team where, like, the Bucks fans take over opposing stead. No, I don't want that. Because, listen, here's how it is, and this is how it's going to be with the Bucks too. You might hate bandwagon fans. I don't like them too. But they exist for everybody, okay? And if this season ticket thing blows up, and if the Bucks, especially if they start actually winning when Brady's here, if this whole thing blows up, the Bucks are going to be everybody's favorite team, not just here, but all over the place. They'll be like a national presence. And Tampa, all the school kids. You know, it's funny. The Chiefs just won the Super Bowl. And you'd be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't, how many freaking kids at my son's school I saw after the Super Bowl wearing Patrick Mahomes jerseys and stuff like that. It made me sick. Not that the kids are just kids. But where are the parents? When I was a kid, and I'm not going to bore you with all the stories about my childhood Bucks. I've done that enough on this show. But when I was a kid, I'll tell you this right now, I don't care who won the Super Bowl or this, that, or the other, I think when I was like two or three, I might have had a shirt I had no control over. But I've never put a shirt over my back that wasn't one of my own teams and nobody else. And it's always been the Tampa team. You wouldn't have caught me dead in a Joe Montana jersey when I was 8 years old. I would never have done that. And my parents would never have done that to me. But, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, you know. And I love Patrick Mahomes, by the way. My son, though, he wears either a Gator shirt or a Buck shirt almost every single day to school. I have never once told him what to wear. He does it on his own. He's got Lightning, too. That's the kind of kid I was. That's the kind of kid he is. And that's the way it should be. But when you have a fan base of nothing but people like that, okay, what do you have at the stadium? You have 30, 40,000 people in the crowd. You have almost nobody else who cares. Any type of big fan base, any type of large following, any type of, you know, like the Seahawks and all that, whatever. Any of them, I don't care. There's a large, large component of bandwagon people because that's why these things get to the point they get to begin with. It's human nature. So that's going to happen here even before they play any games. And it's certainly going to happen if the Bucks start winning with Tom Brady even 10 times more than it's happening right now. And so even though that might be a little bit off-putting, it's also what we should be rooting for because that's the way it is with anybody. I remember 2008 when the Rays were in the World Series. After a decade of me going to Rays games and sitting wherever I wanted at all times, you know, then all of a sudden the stadium started selling out. And it didn't just start selling out with diehard Rays fans. It started selling out with, you know, trendy douchebags who just wanted to be associated with something cool. Remember all these people, like, putting mohawks on their head because that was a thing the Rays team was doing? And it was just so lame. Like, Like, you could tell these people, like, had just gotten the Rays hat and their Rays jersey out of the plastic that they bought it from, you know, a few hours before the game. And I was disgusted. I remember sitting at the World Series game surrounded by people who I could just tell had never actually watched a Rays game until, like, the past couple of months. But that's always how it will be. Like, that's anytime your team is good, that's how it's going to be. So look for a lot of people now. And for those of you hardcores, those of you that are like me that go all the way back, you can choose whether or not you want to call these people out. I'm going to choose to try and be inclusive and not make a big stink about it. But you're going to see a lot of people sidling right up next to you. Yeah, how about those Bucks, man? Well, weren't you like a Giants fan? I thought you used to be a New York Giants fan, right? And no, a Bucks fan. Yeah, okay, I remember, yeah. Because I remember that one time the Bucks played the Giants and you were rooting for the Giants. No, okay. There's going to be a ton of that. Like, I'm just telling you right now, there's going to be a ton of that. And I know a lot of people, and, you know, and they've, oh, yeah, the Bucks, whatever, you know, this, that, and then things start perking up, things start looking up, which they haven't in a while, and they're full bore, they got their Bucks jerseys and stuff. And, guys, folks, let me give you my PSA, which I've done before here. If you're a grown man, or woman for that matter, okay, don't go buy a Tom Brady jersey. You do not need to be wearing another person. Adults should not wear jerseys. Get a nice Bucks polo with the Bucks logo on the left breast or something like that. Do not wear jerseys. That is the, I know a lot of people do it, but it's still, to me, one of the lamest things that grown-ups do. And if you are going to do it, just buy, don't think you got to buy the nice one, then it'll look cool. It looks bad no matter what, so just buy the generic replica one. Like, if you spend, like, $200 on, like, the authentic jersey, wow, I don't even know what to tell you. Like, seriously, you're an adult. It's kind of like bringing a glove to a baseball game to catch a foul ball. Once you're old enough to, like, drive yourself to the game, you should no longer be doing that. And the same thing with wearing a jersey. Like, don't run out and get a Tom Brady jersey. It doesn't make you cool. It doesn't make you anything, but you just... Yeah. And listen, I know the new jerseys are going to be coming out. And I'm excited about that, too, okay? The whole new uniform thing. And we haven't seen it yet, but... You know, we got the report. I don't think I mentioned on last week's show. We got the reports from Paul Lucas at UniWatch, and he saw them but couldn't photograph them, and he described them as very, very similar to the uniforms before this current version, the same ones they wore from 1997 through 2014. And that's good. That's what it should be. Like, let's not do anything crazy. Just go back to normal. But that doesn't mean you have to go buy a jersey, okay? Although, at least if you did, in this case, I guess it would, you know, embolden the Glazers that they made the right decision. But I think the whole jersey industrial complex leads to these uniform changes every 5 years because they just want to sell more jerseys. And I blame, more than I blame any owner or even Nike, I blame people who go buy jerseys. Because if people didn't do that so much, they wouldn't do all these stupid things they do. We probably wouldn't have had the jerseys we had to begin with. Anyway, bobbygameday@yahoo.com is the email address. BobbyGameDay at yahoo.com or on Twitter, same thing. You can catch me at Bobby Game Day. So, Tom Brady's here now. And yet, that wasn't the only news in free agency. You know, right before the Brady stuff, I think it came down on Monday, Jason Pierre-Paul re-signing. So that was good to hear. He comes back for a couple of years. And then, of course, the other day, Kevin Minter. This is underrated. Kevin Minter, he's not a big name. He's a reserve linebacker. He played 275 snaps last year, and 265 of those 275 snaps came in weeks 2 through 5 when Devin White was out. But in that time, he had a lot of quarterback pressures. In fact, he was the third highest rated pass rush guy on the Bucs team, according to Pro Football Focus. And say what you want about PFF. I know some people think they're garbage. I'm just pointing out one metric. He was a good player. He was very effective when he was in there, and then Devin White came back and got better and better as well throughout the season. But Kevin Minter is the type of guy, Rick Stroud said it very well. He said Kevin Minter is the type of player that, you know, playoff teams have on them. He's a big, not just presence on the field when he's out there, but he's a good guy in the locker room to have, a veteran guy, and that's a good re-signing as well. Of course, there's still work to be done in free agency. And the draft coming up, and if you ask some people, you know, I know Todd Gurley's off the table now, he went to the Falcons, but I heard so much about Todd Gurley the past couple days when it became apparent the Rams cut him. And folks, I know, at least if you're a listener to this show of a decent amount of time, I feel like I've taught y'all well, and I'm not like an expert myself, but I've learned this from others, and I've tried to pass that knowledge on to you, okay? Running backs. It's not that they're not important. Would I rather have a good running back or a bad running back? I'd rather have a good running back, of course. But say it with me, and you guys already know the magic phrase if you've been listening to the show before. Running backs, you can get them. Where? What's the last word, class? Anywhere. You can get them anywhere. I'm hearing, oh, go, we got to get Todd Gurley. We need to improve our run game. Hell yes on the improve the run game part. Find a guy, okay? The odds, and I'm not saying just get some schmuck who also sucks. I'm saying the odds of getting the guy you need do not change whether you draft him in the first round or draft him in the seventh round or don't draft him at all or whatever. So I would even, I mean, Gurley, you know, if you get him for a decent number and you don't have to give anything up, even then I wouldn't be that interested in him because I feel like it's not worth the gamble with his knees and, you know, I just didn't see it. And the Falcons made the move instead. That's fine. But now I hear people saying, you know, Cam Akers from FSU. Cam Akers is outstanding. Would take him on the Bucs right now. If he happens to be there in the fourth round, go for it. But don't draft his ass in the second round. Don't draft any run. We have too many things that we need to go draft on a running back in the first or second round. And it doesn't mean he's not good. He is good. It just means a running back does not materially have that much of an influence on the outcome of your season. Who were the two Super Bowl teams this past year? Who were their running backs? Where'd they get them? I mean, come, you know, think about it. And then I heard some people refute that and say, well, Bobby, you say like Raheem Mostert or whatever is just some guy, but wouldn't the 49ers have been better with Christian McCaffrey? Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying you don't want the best running back possible. But in order to, it's the capital you have to invest to get it that you have to take into account. And if the 49ers had invested capital in a running back to acquire someone like that, whoever, I'm not saying him specifically, I'm just saying, you know, to get a guy like that, you have to invest capital, and that's less capital you have to invest in other places. Running back should not be high on your list. And it should be telling that Todd Gurley, two seasons ago, was Mr. All-Everything for the Rams, we thought, and then he got dinged a little bit, and what happened after that? You know, they had to replace him with a backup running back, and their offense sputtered, and their season spiraled out of control. Wait, no, no, I'm wrong, wait. They put in C.J. Anderson, who was literally just a guy. Their offense didn't miss a beat, and they went to the Super Bowl. That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry, I forgot. Like, do you remember that? Like, oh my God, the Rams offense, Gurley's hurt. And then C.J. Anderson just comes in and just does the exact same thing Gurley was doing. And even when Gurley came back, they were kind of like, eh, you know what? Todd, just take all the time you need. We're going to go with CJ for a while. I mean, like, it doesn't matter. Like, with running backs, it does not matter. I told you about the study on EPA added, where they took running backs across the spectrum. Running backs in the first three rounds did not have any significant value advantage over running backs drafted in rounds four through seven or undrafted ones. You know, if you look back, when was Gurley drafted? It was the 2015 draft, I think. Whatever year it was, it's escaping me right now. But I read a stat a little while ago that every single running back, there were 22 of them taken in the draft that Todd Gurley went in. And now that Gurley has left the Rams and gone to the Falcons in just whatever year it was, I think it's three or four short years, not a single one of those running backs is still with the team that drafted them. All right? Just go get someone. You know, Ronald Jones is great, and the Bucs drafted him, and he's cool. They need a second guy that's not going to be Peyton Barber. You'll find someone. They will find someone. But believe me, offensive tackle, right tackle particularly, has to be addressed. Plenty more up front on defense we could be doing. All those things need to be looked at in the first few rounds of the draft. And then, if somehow Cam Akers falls to the fourth round or the fifth round, then hell yes, go for it. But no, second round, no. No running backs in the first two rounds. Like, if I was a GM or an owner, that'd be, like, my one standing rule for a team. I don't care if it's Saquon Barkley, who is very good. It's not like he's a bust, and the Giants still couldn't whiz a drop. I don't care who it is, though. No running backs that high. Get them later. Say it with me one more time, folks. You can get them anywhere. BobbyGameDay at yahoo.com, the email address. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. I wanted to say something real quick, some really sad news that came down this week. I was just messing around on Twitter the other night, which I do a lot, and I saw something that at the time I wasn't sure was real, and it sadly ended up being real, and that was that Scott Ledger, who's an old, I'm not an old person, but like a long time, one of the guys in Tampa radio, that if you were a Tampa sports talk listener or a Tampa radio listener, you knew Scott Ledger, and he passed away this past week suddenly. If you go back in the most recent years, he had a night show on WDAE that I remember, which doesn't seem that long ago, but you know, I guess it was almost 10 years ago now. He had one time had hosted the Bucks pre- and post-game radio shows. He'd been on Thunder 103.5. He was like an original 98 rock guy, The Bone. He was on all that. I had only met Scott Ledger one time in person. It was actually at Bucks training camp in Orlando over there at the Wide World of Sports. And that was probably, it was right around when he was doing the night show, so it was probably about 10 years ago. But I went back and forth with him a little bit on Twitter. I had him on, I'd been on his show, or he'd been on mine. I remember talking to him on the radio a couple of times as well. And Scott was, like I said, he was one of those old school, old guard Tampa radio guys. He was not old, he was only 54, very sad, but I mean, I just mean he'd been around the business a long time, and he was always really good to me. I remember when I first met him, I just started, I think, at 1010, but I'd been between radio jobs. I'd gotten laid off at my first radio job, and I'd just starting a new one, and I remember Scott coming up to me and saying, "Hey, Bobby, you know, really love you on the air. You got a bright future, man. Like, don't give up, keep trucking, man, you're going to do really well." Like, just really, really nice. Like, I was going through, and I was happy to have started the new job, but I had been going through a tough, you know, anytime you get laid off, you're not sure if you're going to get back in again, and I had been fortunate enough to get back into radio, but he really picked my confidence up and really made me feel good, and just a great guy all around, and a really talented, like, creative guy who was a great listen. Like, he really knew how that whole theater of the mind thing worked on the radio, and was really good with his craft. And so, again, I didn't see him in person a ton, but he's a guy who I had associated with over the years, and it's a big loss for Tampa radio, and just a big loss in general. A really good guy. I know he had a family and things like that, and I feel really bad for them. But I wanted to say something on the show today, because I really, really like Scott a lot, and I was really sad to see what had happened there. So my thoughts go out to his family, and I was lucky to get to associate him even in the limited number of times that I did. Email me if you want to, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com on Twitter. Follow me at BobbyGameDay. I want to talk about Jameis before we end the show real quick. And he hasn't signed with anybody else yet, so I guess it's not officially his, you know, Tampa Bay career hasn't officially ended yet, but he did just tweet out a little while ago. He actually sent out a really nice tweet. It was a picture of him when he got the phone call that the Bucks were drafting him. And it said, quote, "It's been a great 5 seasons as a Buccaneer. All love and respect. I love Tampa and look forward to seeing you all again in February." Of course, Tampa scheduled to host the Super Bowl in February. Now, this is like, I'm not going to say like emotional, but I'm sad to see Jameis go. I'm not against the Tom Brady thing at all, but, and I know a lot of you might be saying, "Ah, good riddance, what, I could care less." Hey, fine. But I guess when you get on the ground floor with someone, you always feel a little more of a, I don't want to say loyalty, but you feel more invested in them as a, even as a fan, than if someone comes in and you're skeptical of them right away. And I remember before the Bucks even drafted him, I still remember that first ever start for FSU. And I'm a Gator, okay? So it's not like I'm one of these FSU guys that just loves him because he's a Seminole. I'm a Gator. But I remember watching him in his first collegiate start against Pittsburgh. It was a Labor Day night game, a Monday night game to open the season, you know, way back in whatever it was, 2012, I think, you know, which is amazing to think that that was 7.5 years ago. But I remember thinking, oh yeah, this guy. Like, it had been one half of one game of his career, and I already was thinking, I wonder if the Bucks can somehow get him one day. Like, I thought about that. I was like, man, if it were, not that I want the Bucks to be bad or get the first pick, but I wonder if the stars could align and we could draft this guy somehow. And then it happened. So I was, of course, I was on board, and I was more likely to look for reasons why it could work than to look for reasons why it couldn't work. And of course, that Labor Day night game that he started his collegiate career with, back then he was just a quarterback. He didn't have all the baggage, the off-field stuff, or at least it wasn't known at the time. By the time the Bucks did draft him, it was very controversial. And yet, you know, I was willing to say, hey, clean start, all the stuff you tell yourself when there's a questionable pick or something like that, or someone has off-field stuff. And I thought, above all else, he could be a really good quarterback and we could go a long way with him. And honestly, these past 5 years, you know, so much has happened without anything really happening. The Bucks were just kind of mediocre that whole time. There were no playoffs or anything like that. And yet Jameis went out there and did so many things that just dropped your jaw and showed you why, yes, he is this guy, and did so many other things that made you cringe and made you wonder how he could ever possibly be successful in the NFL. He did both. I mean, he really did. And so, like I said, and still maintain up to this very moment, I believe he can be a good quarterback in the NFL. I'm not willing to say outright bust, write him off, lucky to be a backup. I'm looking, again, you can go down the whole league and the list of their starting quarterbacks coming up for 2020, the ones that are set at least, and there aren't a ton of places where I would make a move for Jameis, but there's a few. I think the Chargers, and their offense isn't quite like Bruce Arians' offense, but I think the Chargers, you know, they don't have a quarterback at all. Now, Cam Newton is still out there. There's some other ones, so I'm not saying. I'm just saying they're one team who could at least have a look at Jameis, and they still might. There's been talk about the Redskins bringing him up as a backup to Dwayne Haskins. If the Redskins bring up Jameis Winston, Jameis Winston ought to be showing Dwayne Haskins how to play the position, not the other way around. There is no way on earth I would take Dwayne Haskins over Jameis Winston. If I was the Redskins, I'd bring him in right now. And the same thing for the Bears. Trubisky or Winston? I mean, I wouldn't even think twice about that. Like, I'd start Jameis Winston right now over Mitch Trubisky if I had both of those guys. And again, there's other teams that may or may not be in flux depending on the draft and who that, you know, obviously Burrow likely to the Bengals, but you've got Tua. We don't know what's going to happen with some other teams. So the quarterback musical chairs is not over, but people saying, oh, Jameis doesn't have anywhere to go and this, that, and the other. I mean, there's a few teams who I think ought to be, and probably are, thinking right now, okay, like we have a chance to bring this guy in to at least compete for the starting. I mean, I'm not saying you have to give him the starting job, but you ought to be having a look because that guy can do things, and the interceptions are the interceptions. They're not to be ignored, but that guy can do things that there's probably four or five guys in the NFL that can also do them, and there aren't very many people like that. And if you feel like, you know, if I was Jameis, I'd be looking to go to a place that has a coach that I get along well with who I think can make me a better player, because he's still young. Don't forget how young Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, the book is far from being over with. Even if he does end up being a backup, he could very easily be a backup for a couple of seasons and then be a starter again. He'd still only be like 27, 28 years old. So, I mean, that's how young he is. He's got plenty of time, which is why, if I was him, again, I'd be looking for a situation where I knew I was with someone who could help me get better. Whether I'm the starter or not, I know I could get better in this situation, and think long term. And yeah, he's not going to get his $30 million a year or whatever it was. And he, you know, I don't know if he ever really thought he was going to get that or not. But either way, he's got time on his side right now. He is a young guy. There's almost nobody ever who's had as much experience as he does and still only been 25, 26 years old. So he can go a couple seasons as a backup if it comes to that. And, you know, who knows who gets hurt or whatever, and then still be a starter and still be in the prime of his career. There's a long way to go. I mean, he's got 10 good years left if he is smart and if he takes care of himself and he's able to avoid injuries and all that stuff. And obviously Tom Brady is still playing at 43, so I'm not even, you know, 10 years only puts Jameis in his mid-30s. But the point is, that's a good quarterback, a guy with a chance to be a good quarterback. And even with all the interceptions, he was middle of the pack in the NFL this year. And if he can get that figured out somehow, he has a chance to be better. And now that Tom Brady's a Buccaneer, yeah, it's not going to be here, but there's plenty of other places where it's probably not a bad idea to kick the tires on him, considering some of the other guys that are out there. So, with that said, I'm sorry the show was late this week, but again, what's the difference? I mean, we're all quarantined and we're all at home Saturday, Tuesday, Monday. I don't know, maybe we're not all. I know a lot of people have to go out and work, and salute to you guys, by the way, whether you're a doctor, a nurse, a grocery store worker, or a small business owner who's just trying to keep it going somehow, some way. I mean, this has got to be really hard for a lot of people, not just, you know, medically with the threat of the virus itself, but financially. Whoever you guys are, that are out there trying and grinding and doing whatever you got to do to keep it going within the rules and recommendations of the CDC and whatever, you know, the mayor or the sheriff or the governor or whoever said, you know, don't want to break any regulations or violate anything. But for those of you out there that have no choice and they're out there doing it, especially a salute to you. And for everybody, whether you're at home or stuck alone at an office or whatever it is, if I can help you through it in any way with these shows, I hope I am. And I'll be back doing my show this week. There's going to be plenty to talk about, even with nothing going on, I think, for a long time here. So thanks to all of you for listening. As always, you guys are the ones who make this show go. I hope I was able to help in some way through what are tough times for a lot of people right now. I want to thank the Joes, of course, for giving me this platform on joebucksfan.com, the number one place for Bucks coverage anywhere on the internet or otherwise. And of course, during no matter what's happening in the coming weeks and months, Joe Bucks Fan ain't going anywhere, and there's always going to be news going on there. Thanks to our sponsors at Bill Curry Ford. All y'all, try and stay safe. Make the best of it. Remember, you can still go outside in your front yard, toss the ball around, do things like that, go for a bike ride. Those are things you can still do. You don't have to completely lock yourself inside. But whatever it is you do, just make sure you take the proper precautions. And in the meantime, I will be back. That is the Free Stretch, Coronavirus Edition. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.
The Bucks are getting new uniforms and they look great.